This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It is such a great honor for all of us to be here today. Each and every one of us should be so humble and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed us to come to one of the holiest of all cities, to a city that the fact of the matter is the majority of the Muslim world cannot come to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated for us to come to this holiest of holy places. This is a city that Allah mentions many times in the Quran, but Allah never mentions it by name. He mentions it by description. He mentions it by adjective. And the adjective and the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses is always one of two, either Mubarak or Muqaddas. These are the two adjectives that Allah uses to describe this land, either Mubarak or Muqaddas. Mubarak is the source of blessings. Mubarak is where barakah comes from. Mubarak is where something is used more, it's extrapolated more, where a little bit of time, a little bit of money, a little bit of barakah will be extrapolated so more people can benefit. And Muqaddas is holy. Muqaddas is that which is blessed and sanctified. So the place is holy, and the people who worship Allah here become holy. So Muqaddas is holy, and Mubarak is blessed. And Allah describes in 5 or 6 verses this land as being either Mubarak or Muqaddas. For example, Allah says in the most famous verse, and it is a verse that you will read on top of the mihrab, and you will read it inside over here, and you will read it also in the Sakhra, the dome of the rock. And that is the first verse of Surah Isra. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam. All praise be to Allah, who caused his servant to undertake a night journey. Min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. From the Masjid al-Haram, the Masjid al-Haram is in Mecca, to the Masjid al-Aqsa, to the furthest masjid. This is the Masjid al-Aqsa, the furthest masjid. And then how does Allah describe it? Alladhi barakna hawlahu. We have blessed the land around it. Not just the masjid. We have blessed the land around it. So imagine when Allah is saying, we have blessed the land around it, what will be the blessing of the masjid itself? Alladhi barakna hawla. Notice as well, Allah is saying that all praise be to Him, Subhanah. Why? Because He has taken His servant from the Masjid al-Haram to the Masjid al-Aqsa. This journey, which we're going to talk about in a while, is one of the reasons why we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well, Allah says in the Quran that Musa told his people, Ya Qawm, O my people, Udkhulul Arda al-Muqaddasa. Enter the land that is holy. Udkhulul Arda al-Muqaddasa, allati katabaha Allahu lakum. Allah has destined this land for you. Allah has chosen this land for you. So it is called Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa. It is the holy land. And in another surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that وَنَجَّيْنَا لُوطًا. And we save Lut إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. To the land that we have made barakah in it. So there is barakah around it, and there is barakah in it. إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions. So, Ibrahim is mentioned, Musa is mentioned. Here we have Lut being mentioned. And now we have Sulaiman and Dawood also mentioned in association with this land. So, Allah says, with regards to Sulaiman, وَسَخَرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ. And we gave Sulaiman the power to control the wind. تَجْرِي بِهَا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. The wind would take him to the land that we have blessed. Meaning, wherever Sulaiman was, he could come back to the land that is blessed, and this is right here in Jerusalem. So wherever Allah describes this land, it is either holy or it is blessed. And there is no doubt that the holiest place on earth is the Haram and the Kaaba. There is no doubt. But the fact of the matter is that that land was only known to be holy and declared to be holy for a short period in the time of Ibrahim, and then at the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the bulk of its history, very few people knew of its sanctity. It was only some of the Arabs who knew it was holy. As for this land, this is Jerusalem, Ard al-Muqaddas, it was sanctified by each and every prophet from Ishaq and Ya'qub, all the way down up until Isa. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions with regards to Lut that Allah told him to make a hijrah إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to the land that we have made blessed for the entire world. So Allah says this is the holy land for the entire world. Now that's an accurate description, because the only land that is considered holy by all of the monotheistic religions is what land? It is this land. And Allah says, we have made this land holy for the entire world. And look, to this day, there's a Jewish quarter, there's a Christian quarter, there's a Muslim quarter. To this day, as we're going to walk around tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, you will find Jewish pilgrims, you will find Muslim pilgrims, you will find Christian pilgrims. There is no other site in the world that is considered sacred by every major religion. No other site. And Allah mentions this, that this is a land that we have made Mubarak lil'alameen, for the entire world. And there are so many ahadith about the blessings of this land and about the sanctification of this land. In one hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tuba lisham, Tuba lisham, Tuba lisham. Now pause here. Sham, in the prophetic vernacular, is this entire region. Sham, which we now call Syria, Sham is considered to be this entire region, and its intellectual capital and its spiritual capital was always Jerusalem. So whenever you see Sham mentioned in the hadith, don't think of modern Syria. No, think of this region surrounded by modern Syria, yes. But Sham primarily refers to Palestine in the hadith. When the Prophet mentions Sham, modern day Syria is included, yes. But what is the primary intent? What is the main focus? The main focus is Jerusalem, and then secondly, it is Damascus, and all that is in between. So when the Prophet says Sham, you need to think of this region right here. And yes, it also includes, as I said, the modern country of Syria. So our Prophet said, blessed is Sham, blessed is Sham, blessed is Sham. And then he mentioned, why is that, the Sahaba said? And he said that there in Sham are the angels that have spread their wings out, and they are protecting the people of Sham. So the angels have spread their wings out, and they have blessed this region of Sham. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when my mother was pregnant with me, when Amina was pregnant with me, that the of the Sham, the Bilad al-Sham, it trembled in a quake. It trembled in a quake. Our scholars say, either as excitement that the Prophet ﷺ is coming, or as a fear that it's going to be conquered soon, one of the two, because both of them happened, that the Prophet ﷺ conquered Sham. And in fact, our Prophet ﷺ said, count six things between me and Judgment Day. Six signs count between me and Judgment Day. Number one, my death. Number two, the conquest of Sham. So the very second thing that he said, after I die, the next big event that's going to come, and that's going to be cataclysmic, and it will be one of the check marks for Judgment Day, will be the conquest of Syria. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was eager to conquer Sham, and especially Palestine, and especially Baytul Maqdis, even in his lifetime. The only battle that the Sahaba fought in his lifetime against non-Muslim outside of Arabia, or I should say non-Arab. The only battle that was fought, who can tell me, what's that battle? Who can tell me?
Tabuk.
People of Sirah.
Tabuk.
That was almost a battle.
Mu'tah.
Mu'tah, our brothers from England helped you out. Mu'tah. Mu'tah. The battle of Mu'tah was fought against the Romans. Now, why? Tabuk was another attempt. So Mu'tah and Tabuk were both attempts of the Prophet ﷺ to come to this region. Both of them north of Medina, both of them south of Bilad al-Sham, right? So above Medina, below Sham, Mu'tah and then Tabuk. And both of them are aiming for the prize, and this was the prize. And that is why the first battle that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq directed the Sahaba to go fight, as soon as he unified Arabia, the first battles were the battles towards Bilad al-Sham. And that is why it was the first major conquest that took place, and that was Jerusalem. It was conquered in the very last days of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq's life and the very first days of Umar al-Khattab's life. This was where the major conquest began. This was the greatest of the earliest victories. And then after this came the victories against the Persians and the victories against other regions. So the Prophet clearly wanted this land, and then Abu Bakr and then Umar radiallahu anhu, they were the ones who focused on it. And we all know the famous story that Qutb al-Qutb himself came to accept the keys to the city. Our Prophet as well, he made a special case for this city being blessed, and he said no one should travel except to one of three places. There are only three places that are holy in and of themselves. Number one, Masjid al-Haram. Number two, he said, my Masjid al-Madina. And number three, he said, Masjid al-Aqsa. The famous hadith of Bukhari Muslim. La tushaddu al-rihal. Nobody should travel except one of three. What does this mean, nobody should travel? It means there is no spiritual journey. There is no journey that in and of itself is rewarded to go to the other place, i.e. the world or the land is not holy, except one of three places. Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem. There's no other place that is intrinsically holy. The journey might be blessed. Another journey, you go for knowledge. You go for visiting your parents. That journey is blessed, but not the land. The land is not blessed. But what land is blessed? Only three. And that is Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem. And we all know that the blessings of Jerusalem and the prayers in Jerusalem are increased. Now, how much so? There's two hadith on this, and they're both kind of sort of weak. One of them is more authentic than the other. One hadith says that every salah in Masjid al-Aqsa is equal to 500 salah outside of it. But the stronger narration says that every salah in Masjid al-Aqsa is equal to 1/4 of the salah in Masjid al-Nabi. And that translates into how much?
250.
And that is the stronger version. Nonetheless, either whether it's 250, whether it's 500, the point is that every salah here is multiplied more than other places except for Medina and Mecca. Those are the only two places that are holier than Bilad al-Sham. As well, of the blessings of Bilad al-Sham is a hadith in Tirmidhi. One of the sisters asked me about it earlier today, and it's a long hadith. To summarize, the Prophet said that when Sulaiman built the temple, he completed the temple of Dawood, he made a dua and he said, oh Allah, give me three things. And the hadith is in Tirmidhi, and it is slightly weak, but inshallah some of the scholars have made it hasan. So inshallah we will accept it as being hasan or acceptable. So the last time I ask you three things, O Allah. Number one, give me a wisdom. Number two, give me a kingdom like no other person has had. Dominion like no other person has had. And then number three, this is the one that we are interested in especially, that make this masjid of mine, so that's this place here, this is the land here, this masjid of mine, such that anybody who comes to this masjid and prays two rak'ah only wanting your reward shall be forgiven of all of his sins. And so this is a narration that is in Tirmidhi that our Prophet is narrating from Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he said he got the first two, so I hope he got the third as well. We know he got the first two, so inshallah he got the third as well. And that inshallah he got the third is essentially a green light for us. That whoever comes to this land and prays two rak'ah in this land, and the niyyah is just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no niyyah to show off, there's no need. You just want Allah's blessings. Then it is the only place that where you pray two rak'ah, you will be forgiven of all of your sins. And that is why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would come to Syria, when he would come to Sham, when he would come to Baytul Maqdis, it is narrated that one time he came, and he literally entered, prayed two rak'ah, and then left the city without even drinking a sip of water. Because he wanted to be so literal to the hadith that he didn't even want a sip of water from the city. Now obviously that's Ibn Umar. That's why Ibn Umar is Ibn Umar, right? But the point is, he wanted to fulfill this hadith so much that he wants nothing from this world, from this land, other than to pray two raka'at. And so inshallah, all of us are here, we're saying our prayers here, we should make our niyyah, that our niyyah is only to earn the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so inshallah, if that is our niyyah, we shall go back to our homes having all of our sins forgiven, having a clean slate. And that is an equivalent to hajj, as we know. That is an equivalent to hajj, even though it doesn't take the place of hajj, but the rewards are the rewards of hajj. As well, we learn in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the seerah, as we all know, that this is where the blessed mi'raj took place. This is where our Prophet went on the ascent. And maybe tomorrow we'll give the lectures about Isra and Miraj. We don't have time today to do that. We'll see tomorrow what time is possible. But briefly, Isra and Miraj are two separate journeys that took place on the same night. Isra and Miraj are two separate journeys that took place on the same night. Isra is the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. Mi'raj is the journey from Jerusalem to the heavens. And so it's called Isra wal Mi'raj. So Isra from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then Mi'raj from Jerusalem up in the heavens. And Isra and Mi'raj, they both involve which city? Jerusalem. Both involve Jerusalem. And the very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Jerusalem to be both Isra and Mi'raj demonstrates its sanctity. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was physically here. Isra and Mi'raj was not a dream. It was not a dream. He came in body and soul, in spirit and mind and soul and body. His physical jasad, he himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walked on this very land. And what happened over here? Muraq brought him here, as we know. I'm going to tell you the story, inshallah, tomorrow in more detail. Jibreel was here as well. And Jibreel told him to pray over here. And so Jibreel and the Prophet are right here. And the Prophet prays. And when he finishes and he turns around, what does he see? We all know. All 120,000 prophets over here. And they were all present. So the only place that we know of where every prophet was present simultaneously was this land. Think about that. If that is the only blessing of Quds, it is enough of a blessing. But it's not the only blessing. If that was the only blessing, every single prophet, where did they gather together? Where did they? It was on this very spot where they prayed their salah together. And then our Prophet, as the legend goes, we don't know for sure, but the legend goes, he went to that rock over there, and that was when the Mi'raj took place. Tomorrow we're going to go to the Dome of the Rock, as it's called. That's the legend that goes. And again, there were no eyewitnesses to tell us, but inshallah, that's what his history has reported. That he went up to Mi'raj from that rock into the Dome of the Rock. As well, what other blessings are over here in Bilad al-Sham? Again, so many are mentioned. As we know, Musa alayhi salam, he was promised this land, but his people refused to fight against the Amalekites, against the people that were living here. And they became cowards. And they said, no, you go and your Lord fight, we're going to sit right here. So what did Allah do? He prohibited it for them for how many years?
40
years. And they wandered in the desert of Sinai. They wandered there. Now, when Musa was about to die, you all know when prophets die, what happens? The angel has to do what for the prophets?
Permission.
Ask permission. So the only people who basically choose their time of death, by choose I mean they're asked, are the prophets. So when the angel of death comes to Musa, Musa says to Allah, oh Allah, let me go to at least gaze upon the promised land. He knows he cannot enter the promised land because Allah has made it haram. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً. Allah said it is haram for them for 40 years. They will wander in the earth. So Musa could not enter the promised land. But when he died, when he was about to die, he made a dua to Allah, oh Allah, at least let me look on the promised land. And so Allah told him to go to such and such a mountain. And Musa went to this mountain. If we have time, the day after tomorrow, we will pass by what the legends say was the mountain. Again, there are no eyewitnesses, Allah knows best, but what the legends say is the day after tomorrow we're going to go in, we're going to be seeing that mountain, that's where they say is the grave of Musa. And so Musa died with his staff in his hand, staring at this very land. This is the land he was staring at when he died. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if I was there now, I could show you the very rock under which he is buried. If I was there, I could show you exactly that rock that he was standing on when he passed away. And so he was buried over there with the gaze right on this very land. SubhanAllah, here we are praying in this blessed land and being witness to history, so much history over here. This is also the land that Dawud alayhi salam made his capital. Right? The kingdom of Judea. This is the famous kingdom that Allah blessed with. The Dawud was the prophet king. Most prophets were not kings. Most prophets were not rulers. Dawood alayhi salam was one of the very few who chose to be a prophet and a king. By the way, our Prophet Jibreel came to him and asked him that Allah is asking you, do you want to be a humble prophet or do you want to be a malik and a rasul, a king prophet? So he said, no, I want to be an abd and a rasul. I don't want to be a king and a rasul. So he chose not